Welcome to the I Am Healing Strong podcast. My name is Jim Mann, along with my dear friend, Allie Powell.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, did I pronounce that right?
You did great.
Actually, you say Powell, and I just say Powell, because I'm...
Really?
Well, I'm lazy.
I've never noticed that.
Okay, never mind.
I say Jim Mann. Jim Mann is the man.
Yeah, that's kind of good. Last week, we didn't talk about it, but the week before, we talked about you going off, your husband being a baseball coach.
Yes, sir.
Going off to the World Series. So people probably last week were thinking, oh my goodness, tell us. And we didn't tell, so they probably assume they lost, so they couldn't mention it.
But we didn't.
You won?
The national championship. We won the Natty.
And on your son's birthday, his 13th birthday?
Yes, I know. And then I had a birthday 2 days later. Like, we put everything in one weekend.
Yeah, we're not going to say your age, but you're still in your 30s.
Yeah, for a little bit longer. We do have someone that we spoke to.
We was, as in me.
No, you don't get to take all the credit.
I do, because you were off winning the World Series.
True, sorry.
Yes, well... Linda Murphy is who we're talking to today, and she is a Canadian, so I had to translate.
That A was really hard for you, wasn't it, A?
Yeah, it threw me off. No, she is up in the Niagara Falls area, the only part of Canada I've ever been, but she's a nutritionist. These are the kind of people I need to hang around, because I don't understand nutrition a lot, except for if it's green. If it grew out of the ground, it's green. Unless it's poison ivy or something, you eat it. And that's pretty much how I would treat it. So she had a lot of allergies when she was younger, and she was very inquisitive as to why she had these things. So she was figuring it out. Me, I would say, I don't know. Oh, well.
You haven't figured anything out.
No, I haven't. But she went to the library and just checked all these information out. And so she got smarter. That's how people are getting smarter. And I'm not, because I don't go to the library. But she's now teaches nutrition. She helps people with that. So I'm going to be back in touch with her, of course. But she was in the school system, help with that. But I'll let her give you all the details. And of course, she did have an episode with cancer, and she was able to conquer that also. So here she is. Well, Linda Murphy, how are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
My little Canadian friend.
Yeah, I'll just have to say A at the end of everything.
That's right. I've been to Canada one time, and that was just stepping across Niagara Falls. So it doesn't really count, does it?
I'm very close to that. So.
Oh, wait, I didn't see you.
Mm-hmm. Very close to Niagara. I'm actually in the Niagara area, so absolutely beautiful. Love it.
I think I was like a preteen when I was there, so maybe I didn't see you. Went there that one time, and of course, of all times, they were pulling a body out of the water.
Oh.
Is that normal?
No, that's not. No.
Okay.
No, that wasn't good timing on your part.
No, that disturbed me as a child.
Yeah. No wonder you never went back.
Yeah. And that's what Canada means to me.
Oh, dear. Well, let's change that.
Okay. Well, it changed a little, because now my daughter-in-law is a Canadian. And
There you go. So, that's going to patch it up.
That's right. So I love Canada now. We're interested in hearing your story. I know you're definitely into nutrition, is what I'm understanding.
Yes.
And that's stuff that I'm very interested in, of course, because I used to have a horrible diet, even though I was very healthy otherwise. But because I was healthy, I got away with eating, garbage. I did eat good food, too, but I supplemented it with a lot of sugar and a lot of carbs. And
yeah, not good.
I know. I'm sorry. And, and I've always been skinny, very, very energetic. So I burn things up quickly. So that's probably how I got away with things. Maybe.
Yeah.
it caught up with me when I was 59. So tell me your story. Did you grow up in Canada?
I did. I was born and raised in Hamilton, Steel City. I basically never really left Hamilton. Didn't really do much traveling outside of Canada. I was down east in Nova Scotia. That's where my family is from, actually. My parents are from Nova Scotia. And, when I got a little bit older, I got to travel outside of Canada a bit, but basically stayed in Hamilton my whole life. And then when I met my husband, he talked me into moving to Grimsby. So Grimsby is a beautiful little town, and now we are living in Campton, which is just like 15 minutes away from Grimsby. So we're actually, we live in the country now. So we just absolutely love it. So we're in wine country. We're in the Niagara Belt. So there's lots of vineyards around us and a lot of farmland. So it's just absolutely beautiful. Just absolutely love it.
Wow. It sounds beautiful because I'm picturing it in my head, but you know, never seen it, but I trust you. Since we've known each other so long, I trust you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were always pretty healthy, I take it.
I was. Actually, I was raised quite healthy. My parents, we never really ate processed foods. So my mom was an excellent cook. And so I remember growing up quite healthy. My parents both were, you know, they exercised. You know, I was raised to think about health. So that was a bonus, you know, because not a lot of people aren't really raised that way. So for me, that to me was a real bonus that I was actually raised that way and had a foundation for health. And through my teens, actually, I diagnosed my own allergies. I was kind of a book nerd in my teens. And I went to go to the library and I had two anaphylactic attacks, actually. And I went to the library and I started researching and kind of, you know, did my own study on myself and realized my allergies, kind of figured it out. Because my doctor said, oh, you can put you on elimination diet, blah, blah, blah. And I went, ooh, that sounds kind of severe. And of course, a teenager trying to put them on elimination diet was going to go over too well. So I just started reading and doing my own research and kind of figured it out on my own, my sensitivity. So I was lactose intolerant. And I found I was, you know, really sensitive to, you know, chocolate and certain things I just knew didn't agree with me. So that kind of got me thinking just at a very young age about, you know, how food affects your body. So, but, you know, later on in life, kind of lost touch with that. I raised my kids somewhat healthy, but didn't really dive into it deeper than just thinking, okay, I've got some food sensitivities and stuff like that. So, so foundationally I had a bit of, you know, that knowing that, okay, we should stay away from boxed foods because I never was raised on that. But other than that, I really didn't have a lot of information about health in general.
Well, I cried a little bit when you said allergic to chocolate. So that must be horrible.
Oh, it is horrible. Yeah.
Wow. Let me wipe my tear. Another question I have here, like, I know in America, we allow all kinds of stuff in our food that's illegal in other places, have been banned in other places. What's it like in Canada? Is it just like America as far as that's concerned? Or
pretty close, yeah. There's a lot of stuff in Canada that is allowed, that shouldn't be allowed, you know, as far as GMOs and glyphosates and, you know, being educated as I am now. So, you know, just going back a little bit. So yeah, when I didn't really realize all the things that were affecting our health. So, you know, I was going through my 20s and 30s, basically raising my kids, trying to raise them as healthy as I could, but didn't realize anything about, other than, you know, I think back now and what kind of triggered me a few times was my son who would get like bright red ears and kind of get hyper when he ate certain foods. And I was kind of like, but didn't have any idea what it would be. I would see that connection. And so I started digging a little bit more and going, oh, okay, you know what, like, what is this preservative? What's this additive, right? Because my parents never really bought that sort of thing, wasn't as prevalent, you know, growing up in the 60s and 70s as it became more in the 80s and 90s. But I kind of started to wake up a little bit and go, oh, what's going on here? And then I started babysitting kids and they would have some reactions to foods and I'd be like, oh, now what's this? Right. And then I was starting to learn about red food colorings and stuff like that. But yeah, as far as what is in Canada and, you know, the things that are supposed to be considered safe is actually a joke, you know, and I tell people, cause I mean, I teach that stuff too. I also teach at CSNN in Mississauga. I teach nutrition. I actually teach people how to become nutritionists. So I was teaching what we call eco-nutrition. And that's the study of where your food comes from. So when you dig into that, you're like, whoa, wow.
It comes from the grocery store, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I'd say to people, they'd be like, I don't know how to read labels. You know, how do you read labels? And I said, well, actually, if you stick to the produce department, you don't have to read labels.
True.
Right? If you eat Whole Foods. You don't have to be reading labels. So that's, but yeah, just understand. I think I really wasn't introduced to, you know, the type of stuff that's actually in our food chain, and became really aware of it till about, you know, 14 years ago, because that's right shortly after I graduated from holistic nutrition back in 2007. And it was a couple of years after that, so, you know, 2009, 2010, that we had Jeffrey Smith. He's the GMO guru. He actually travels across Canada and talks about GMOs and glyphosates. And he was actually one of our speakers at one of our nutritional conferences. And he started talking about GMOs, and I was kind of sitting there like a deer in the headlights going, what is he talking about? What is this? Never heard of it. Why haven't I heard of this? Like, why wouldn't they tell us about this? Why wouldn't our government tell us? Why is this not on the news? Why don't people know about GMOs and glyphosates and stuff like that? So that was really, like, for me, I was just like, my goodness. So, of course, then when you start to dig more, you go down all those rabbit holes and you go, oh, wow, the things that are legal, like nitrates that shouldn't be legal, right? Sulfites, stuff like that, that actually are known carcinogenics that are in our food source. So it's very eye-opening, yeah, when you think that, you know, certain things should not be allowed and are allowed and definitely linked to disease and cancer. You know, it's so that's why I'm so passionate now. I mean, you know, learning what I've learned to help educate people is, to me, is my the most important thing I can do.
Yeah, I'm pretty unusual, I think, as in, well, in many ways. But when it comes to allergies, I've never been allergic to anything until just a couple of years ago. I, for some reason, I got your typical season-changing allergies, and I didn't know. I thought I was dying. I didn't know what it was about because I've never been allergic to, you know, in spring and fall, the pollen, and everyone's going crazy. I'm, you know, it didn't affect me at all. So none of that has ever entered my mind. I don't know what it's from. Why are people are allergic? And I know it's different reasons. I had a friend that was deathly allergic to bee stings, and I didn't know that until, you know, we were kids, and he was getting the baseball that I threw, and he missed. He went into the bushes, and he got stung by a bee, and instantly he's got these splotches all over his face, and didn't have an EpiPen, so we had to rush him to the hospital. He's still good. But yeah, I mean, do most allergies come from the food we eat? Is that kind of how it goes?
Yeah, excellent question. So yeah, what I've seen, so I've personally seen the changes in the last, I started working for the school board as an educational assistant in 1999. So I was working with children in the classroom day in and day out. And I always like to tell this story is that when I first started working with kids, so I was in a school of like 600 students back then. So 1999 to about, you know, 2000, whatever, I was like, you know, working with kids. And we always had in the staff room sheets that you put on the staff room board that shows kids that are, have anaphylactic allergies. So back then, out of a school of 600, we might have had, honestly, about maybe five sheets out of 600 kids. Fast forward, my last few years in the school board, so this was like 17 years later, out of a school of 300, we had over 20 anaphylactic. And you saw all these different allergies, and everybody's like, what is going on? Oh my goodness. What, why is it so, like, why is this increased so much? And not only did I notice this increase in allergies, I also noticed we were starting to notice a difference in behaviors, like children that can't sit still, right? Very fidgety. Out of a class of 20 something kids, close to 30, you might have three that could actually sit still and actually pay attention or do their work. And I noticed the amount of children that actually their skin looked gray, you know, like just not healthy, not pink cheeks, hair dry, you know, rough, bumpy skin, looked like it was like dry, parched, or like they looked like they had some type of skin allergy. So I started piecing it together because at that point, like this firm, I was an educational assistant in 1999. And then when I became a holistic nutritionist in 2007, I was still working for the school board. So I had that information about, you know, in nutrition and understanding about the connection between food and inflammation. So when I was looking at these kids and I started to look at their diet, or should I say lack of, I would see all these packaged, you know, things in there. We're talking Lunchables and Bear Paws and Rice Krispie Squares and rice, you know, little fishy crackers. And like, there'd be no fruits and vegetables, just all packaged food. And I started going, wow, look at this. The increase in allergies. We have kids that are less focused. We have more children with behaviors and autism. Like, it was going crazy. I could see the increase year after year, year after year. You know, 17 years later, I'm like, wow, what is going on? And the teachers are saying the same thing. What's going on with our kids? What's happening? You know, so foods are directly in what affects inflammation in the body. And everything stems from inflammation, everything. All disease stems from inflammation. And even when it comes to seasonal allergies, like, this is something that I experimented on my husband. He got to be the guinea pig when I got it when I was in school. He's like, oh, yay, this is so fun. Poor guy. So anyway, he had really bad seasonal allergies, and he would come in from mowing the lawn and he'd be all wheezy and his eyes are watering and he'd go, oh, I can't cut the lawn. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, you can. I'll fix you.
Oh, wow.
So we started to take out, like, so what I was learning was that environmental allergies are caused from underlining internal inflammation, right? So if you have internal inflammation, you're going to be more susceptible to environmental. That's how that works. So I started looking at his diet, and we started cutting out certain things. And a big one was pasteurized dairy. Took out pasteurized dairy. Was taking out wheat, you know, obviously sugar, cutting back, you know, putting him to organic coffee, just taking out any processed foods and starting loading him up with some, you know, natural anti-inflammatories. We did fish oil and quercetin, right? And lots more citrus, and just started changing his diet. And that next summer, he couldn't believe the difference. He was like, oh my goodness. Wow. Like, he'd go out there and cut his lawn, a little bit of water, but not near as bad. I'd say it was like 60-70% improvement. The following summer, nothing. No seasonal allergies. And to tell you too, on top of all that, he would have seasonal allergy, but he was so bad that he sometimes had to go on puffers. And then in the wintertime, he was on puffers because he would get these bronchial, he'd get chest infections every winter. So then, you know, we've just been in this process of cleaning up the diet, taking certain things out, making sure we're adding good natural anti-inflammatories in. And so now it's been about 10 years since he's had a chest infection. And seasonal allergies are pretty well non-existent. And another family member, she had really bad allergies and was constantly popping like Benadryl and whatever she could get her hands on, and had to take them consistently. Almost every day she had to take these allergy meds. So she met with me and so we looked at her diet, and I said, well, okay, well, let's take out the most common ones, wheat, sugar, dairy, you know, just went through the repertoire of the most common ones, took those out. Said, okay, let's take up this processed food, sugars and stuff like that, and let's see how you feel. She was amazed, totally amazed. Now, fast forward years later, she's not on allergy meds. She knows that she'll increase, and when it comes to certain seasons, like, she'll increase, you know, some natural stuff. She'll add more fish oil. She'll add some more quercetin. You know, she's got some natural things she got from, you know, these little quail eggs, natural thing that she got that she'll take. But basically, she's not on allergy meds anymore.
Wow. You know,
so it's story after story. And I have a friend that had asthma. Same thing. We cleaned up her diet, put her on some natural anti-inflammatory. Like, and she was told she'd never get out for puffers. She had asthma since she was 14. And so we went through the process of cleaning up her diet and adding some natural fish oil and stuff like that. And she worked on it for a year, and she started exercising more, increasing her lung capacity. And within that year, she actually came with me on a trip, and we did a 5K race together. And she had never, ever been able to even, you know, jog for like, you know, for like not even a kilometer. And she was able to do a 5K kilometer and not have her puffers. So that totally blew it. Like, she was amazed because she was told she would never get off of them, right? And I always say to people, yeah, it's not everybody, not guarantee, but I stress to people how important your food is. It's everything. I say the same thing. Like, the thing is, what amazes me is that you're not surprised if you had your car and you didn't put gas in the car. You went and put juice in your car or water in your car, and you go, oh, it's not running. I don't understand why. Right? Or you don't change the filters, or you don't change the oil, and your car doesn't run. You went, if you go to your mechanic and tell him that, he look at you like you had six heads. He go, well, don't you know how your car runs? Right? But yet we do that to our own bodies. We don't understand. And we think, I look at people and go, well, how do you think your body runs? It runs on vitamins and minerals. So if you're going to pump in garbage, the engine's not going to work. It's not going to run. Right? And you're going to clog the engine. And that's what I would say. When you're clogging the engine, you're clogging your liver. That's when you're going to get allergies. That's when you're going to get disease. That's when you're going to start to feel really crappy because your filtration system, your liver is clogged. And that's what helps you with everything. So I do give the car analogy and people seem to understand that. They go, oh, yeah, that makes sense, right?
I've used that myself. So now I feel smart.
Yeah.
I don't often feel smart. So how did I escape allergies for so long?
Well, it depends on the person, right? Yeah. Like everybody's different. So it just depends on, you know, there can be, if your parents, if there's allergies in the family, then the genetic component could be a little bit higher. So if you have one parent or both parents, your chances of having allergies are a lot higher. I mean, the genetic part of it is not that high. We can change. I always say that, you know, genetics loads the gun, lifestyle pulls the trigger.
Yeah.
So genetically, you could have a predisposition if it's in the family. But it depends on your toxic overload, right? So if, depending on what you're putting in the body and what you're exposed to, we sometimes have a toxic limit that you can breach. So it really depends on that. It's kind of hard. But sometimes what happens is you might not have. So I have a webinar I do about immunity and allergies. But sometimes what happens is people have what we call silent allergies. It's not your typical allergies where it's wheezing, coughing, runny nose. It's fatigue, joint issues, you know, all kinds of other things. Weight gain, that would be the unexplainable. That is actually underlining sensitivities and allergies that because you're sensitive to stuff. So those sensitivities and that inflammation is presenting differently than what we typically think of allergies. Or foods, our sensitivities, so that can happen as well.
Okay, good answer.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you also had a health scare. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, like I said previous, you know, I went through my 20s and 30s, thinking that I had kind of somewhat, you know, healthy foods and not raised on processed foods. Thought I was doing good things as far as raising my kids fairly healthy. And I didn't buy boxed stuff too much. Like I didn't, you know, their friends were eating the Lunchables and all these packaged foods. And I never went there. Mm-hmm. But we were eating a lot of pasteurized dairy and quite a bit of meat and, you know, tons of dairy. It was like cheese and yogurt and all that stuff. But I also, I mean, I was a very busy mom. I actually went back to school twice while I was working. So I went back, I was working and I went to school to be an educational assistant. Mm. And so having young kids, my daughter was 9 and my son was 12 when I was diagnosed with cancer at 39.
Wow.
And so, of course, you know, you get that, you hear about people getting that diagnosis. And, you know, when they tell you, it's just like your heart stops. You know, you just think, oh, and right away, what flashes before your eyes when you have young kids is like, am I going to see them grow up? Yes. Am I going to see grandkids? Am I going to get to experience life with them? Like, when is, you know, is this going to end soon? And, but I think back now, and luckily, I mean, I was raised with a positive attitude. My mom was very much that way. She'd say, well, you're in control of your destiny and what you're doing. Right. And she says, no point in getting all upset and stressed. That's not going to help the situation. So those words stuck with me. She used to raise me that way. Just, you know, take control. So I, after the initial shock of getting the diagnosis, I started to really dig. I started digging. So my years of going to the library and looking at books in my teens came roaring back. And I started getting all these books and I started researching. And I started, you know, just, getting information about, you know, things that were super things to help with cancer. So lots of greens, you know, barley grass and all these greens. So I was going to the health food store and just, you know, taking things off the shelf and just, you know, doing as much as I could to just think, okay, I'm going to, you know, detox my body and do whatever I can. But what was my attitude was the biggest thing that I think was, is so important, you know, having that positive mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think back now, even like back then, I mean, I didn't have a strong Christian faith back then. I mean, I raised my kids Catholic, but I didn't really have a relationship with Jesus. But I still, you know, the foundation was there. So I just, even though I wasn't really praying to God at the time, I felt this inner strength and courage. So I know now I look back and I know he was with me. And, you know, there was a purpose for me to go through that. But I just kept, you know, taking good care of myself. But the biggest thing that I started to realize was how important it is to keep your stress level down and your emotional stressors, how that could be so detrimental to our health, right? So I just was focusing a lot on that as well and just trying to deal with stress better. Anyway, I was very lucky that, you know, they were able to just get it with surgery. I didn't have to. And I don't know if I had enough information at that time, if they had said, yes, we have to do chemo and radiation. I don't know if I would have agreed to it or not at that point. I don't know, to be honest, because I was like, I don't know if I had enough information or if I would have really, you know, dug into that more. But luckily I didn't have to, like they did, it wasn't presented to me. They said, oh, we think we got everything with the surgery and you're good. So I went, okay. So that catapulted me into, because I had been starting to search, I thought, wow, this is fascinating. I think that my, you know, learning about health when I was younger, it just kickstarted it in me again. I went, oh, wow, I can't get enough of this. And I started to think, you know, as much as I love working with kids, I knew that that wasn't my passion. So I was like, okay, and I didn't even know what I was looking for. I was just like, I need to get into health, some way to get into health. What do I do? And so actually I always tell the story that people that know, I don't even know their names, but there's these two sisters that wrote the book, The Looney Spoons. Wow. Did you ever hear about The Looney Spoons? They have a cookbook.
Okay. So
they've written a few different books.
I've heard
anyway,
of it.
Yeah. So anyway, I was reading a Reader's Digest book and they were talking about those sisters and the one she had taken holistic nutrition and she was now a registered holistic nutritionist. And those, at that time, those words just jumped off the page at me and I went, oh, that's what I want to be. I didn't know what it was. And then I just started Googling, right? It's like, oh, I got to find out what this is. So I found a school. And so I feel that my cancer diagnosis catapulted me into knowing more about nutrition, figuring out, okay, you know what? I thought I was healthy. I thought I was doing the right things, but obviously there was something missing. There was something that I needed to change, right? So that's what I say to people is that, you know, these things that we get should just be like, especially when it comes to cancer, you know, people will often think that it's just something that I hear these, you know, I don't know, the way they word it is like it just jumped into their body and it's like this foreign thing that just kind of attacks you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's just a wake up call. It's just your body going, whoa, you know, your immune system has been weakened. And why is that? Why is that? What happened? Right. So that's all that is. I said, don't get freaked out. Don't get freaked out. Just it's your body talking to you. It's your body saying, oof, you got to make some changes here. You know, and if you don't know what changes they are, then that's where you can reach out and get some support. Right. But it's understanding that everything, like you were saying, we're asking, you know, we're talking about chemicals, talking about foods, that everything that we do or don't do is obviously affecting our body negatively or positively. Right. We can heal or harm our body. So if we look at kind of a checklist and going, okay, these things heal my body, these things can harm my body, which is unbalanced, right? Mm-hmm. Where is there more unhealthy things as opposed to healthy things? What things can I shift to help my body? And our bodies are incredible. Oh my goodness. The more I learn about the body and how miraculous it is, and you know, the stories of people with stage 4 cancers that are now cancer-free, that, you know, changed their diet, took out toxins. I always say to people, that's the number one thing we need to do is, you know, take out the toxins and, you know, put nutrients in. You know, it's like cleaning that car filter, get the dirty filters out, clean that oil, and put good, clean gas in. Well, it's the same as our bodies, right? Cleaning the liver, make sure the liver is healthy, make sure we put good things in to push the bad stuff out. So it's not just a matter of putting good things in, it's our body's ability to detox and get rid of the junk, right? If it's working properly, right? If it's running well, then it's going to be able to do that, right? So that's all the things that I've learned that is just so powerful. So I just love that, you know, going through that journey of thinking, okay, I know what it feels like to have a cancer diagnosis. I now have all kinds of tools in my toolbox that I've used for myself. And now it's amazing that I can help other people, right? Say, I know the mind, body, soul connection that's so important, that whole package, to help us heal. And it's not just from cancer. You know, I say to people, no, it's just, if you can get rid of underlying inflammation, then you can heal the body and all different things. MS, right? Asthma, my friend. I have people with rheumatoid arthritis that no longer are using canes. They came to me with canes and they no longer have canes, right? Wow. Yeah. So it's just reducing that inflammation. It's how to do it, right? It's that's what they go, okay, that sounds great. How do I do it? Yes. And if they follow it, and are able to follow it. And that's the key too, is that, you know, being able to help people walk through it so it's that they can do it, right? That it's not overwhelming. I think that's a big thing too, is oftentimes people get all this information and they're overwhelmed. They don't know where to start. So I think that's very important to be able to walk people through. And I love that. That's what I love about my job, you know, is being a holistic nutritionist. And I tell them I'm a coach. I coach them through it. So it feels good to be able to do that and help them step by step. And when they start to feel better, it's like, oh, yes. Love my job. Love my job.
So the cancer pretty much set a fire inside of you.
It did, for sure. Yeah.
That's excellent. So where do you see it going from here?
Well, I love that I've been with Healing Strong for over 5 years now. Yeah. So I've been doing these online. I started off being in person helping people. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing the online ones for, well, I started right pretty much the beginning of the pandemic. So doing online and getting people from all over the world now, which is fantastic. We've got people as far as actually one of the women that come on, she's from Hong Kong, and now she's starting her own group in Hong Kong. So I think that's so cool that, you know, you're able to reach that many people because of Zoom and the way our got our internet. So that's so fantastic. But my ultimate dream is that I'm going to have my own wellness center. So that's where I'm headed, is that I actually want to have a center where people can come and get all the different modalities. So that's something I'm so excited about. Yeah, because I think it's really needed. And what I'm doing right now is I've collected all the different modalities around me. So when people come to me, they say, you know, I'm looking for, you know, doctors that have the oncology part. I have a list of doctors. You know, thermography, they want thermography done. I know who to send them to. If they need a biodynamic dentist, I know who to send them to. So that's what I've been accumulating over the last few years, is because people come to you when they have a cancer diagnosis. It's very difficult, especially in Canada, not much so much in the States, but Canada, it's very difficult for people to find natural ways to do things, and they don't know where to go. So that's what I love, is that I've been tapping into all the different modalities and be able to give people a list and say, here you go. Here's where you can get all these different things done. That's going to help out. And then we've got, you know, I'm partnered with a whole group of holistic nutritionists. So I've got lots of people that can help out. And, you know, so that all being said, now my next step is I would love to have a actual building where people can get those modalities and not have to be traveling all over the place. That they can come and have access to that stuff. So that's going to be directly guided by God. He put it in my heart that was going to happen. So I'm just getting all the pieces together, and I'm very confident that that's going to happen. Don't know when, but it will happen.
So next month, right?
Yeah. Well, you never know. God, all things are possible with God, right?
That's right. He's got a building ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that sounds exciting. You know, I don't know a lot about nutrition because... Well, just because I've never really thought about it, because I thought I could eat anything, but apparently I can't. Well, I can, but it's not good for me.
Yeah, well, it can catch up to you. Like, I mean, we can get away for a while, but you know what I say to people too, is that sometimes what we think is our normal And when I talk to people, they say, oh, what's your energy? Oh, it's okay. It's average. It's normal. I said, well, if you don't have a comparison, how do you know? Right? So when I think back, and I think back in my 30s, which I thought I had, half decent energy, right? I felt pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I had my downtimes. I would crash in the afternoon. I'd have a little pick-me-up. I needed coffee to get going in the morning. There was things that I look back that I don't have anymore, that I don't ever feel that way. So I actually feel better now than I did 20 years ago. I have more energy now, and my memory is better, and I have no aches and pains. I don't have to get caught. I don't need coffee to get going in the morning. And I said, I know that's all contributed to my healthy eating. So what a difference. If somebody had taken me out of my 30-something-year-old body and put it in my going to be 60-year-old body this year, I'd be like, sign me up. That's how I'm going to feel? You're kidding me. Well, yeah. Let's do that now. Let's do that now because I want to feel like that. Right? If somebody had told me that I can actually feel better as I get older, That's to me is unbelievable. Like I'm like, I have more energy now than I ever have. Even keel of energy. I don't crash and burn. I can start my day at 6 a.m. and go right. I sometimes teach till 10 p.m. and I still have mental clarity, which I never had before. I'd be crashing after 8 o'clock. So I contribute that all to eating healthy and clean and exercising in the morning. Like I go for a walk in the morning, I exercise every day moderately. I go for a good power walk every day. I stretch. I do prayer and worship in the morning. I have a really good routine that I know that fuels me. And the thing is, I need to do that because if I'm going to help other people, and I'm helping a lot of people, my business has gotten really, really busy. So for me to have the energy to help other people, I need to fuel myself. I need to take care of me. So I do that. I fuel myself, right? I fill my mind with good things, my body and my soul every day. And so that gives me what I need to be able to give back. Right. So I think, because I say, okay, Lord, you want to use me. I have to be, he gives me a temple I have to take care of. And if he wants me, there's assignments he has for me. And he's got a big thing lined up for me with this wellness center. And if I want to get there, I need to make sure that I'm ready and I need the energy. I need to be being able to feel good. I need to have the energy to do these things. Right. So the only way for me to do that is to take care of myself. Right. And fuel my body and do what I need to do. And that's what I love is I teach people how to do that. I say, let's walk through it. Let me show you. And when they start to feel better and they go, wow, Linda, like I do, mental clarity. I just feel so much better. I'm like, yeah, I know. Isn't this awesome? Isn't this good to have this extra energy? You don't need this artificial stuff to get going. You don't need to pump yourself full of things to try to keep this artificial energy going. You've actually got natural energy, right? Just from your cells being fueled with vitamins and minerals, right? You have good digestion. You're sleeping better. Like that's the thing too. People say, oh, I'm sleeping better, right? I wake up more refreshed. I'm like, I know. Isn't that cool?
I sense a little passion here.
Just a little, yes.
Well, how can people get a hold of you?
I have a website. So my website is bestbodyforlife4.ca, or they can reach me at info@bestbodyforlife.ca. So info@bestbodyforlife.ca is my email. And nice. Then I have a website. My website, bestbodyforlife.ca is my website. And I have recipes on there. I do blogging. I do articles on different health things that I've learned. So I've had that website for quite a while. But there's lots of really good recipes on there. Nice healthy stuff that people can try out. And I always say to people, there's some really good desserts on there. So you can still have healthy desserts that are very delicious. So you don't have to feel deprived.
That's right. Linda, it was nice talking to you. I feel more energetic now.
Oh, good. Good. Glad to hear.
And I'm really sorry about the chocolate thing. It's just terrible.
Yeah. No, actually, I eat dark chocolate. I know that's not for everybody, but I can do the 85% dark chocolate. And that seems to be okay. So I can have that. And sometimes I'll do a little date or raisins or something, or my walnuts. So, but no, I don't. I can eat dark chocolate. And it's full of antioxidants and good healthy stuff. So
I do that because I hear it's good for the brain also.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And my son found a you know, I always get the 85 or 90 some, and then he found the 100% dark chocolate.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So that's hardcore right there.
That sure is.
Yeah. I downed it already. I mean, a little at a time, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's really like, yeah, that's hardcore for sure.
Yeah, I'm like a Viking. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
All right, Linda. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I need to get a hold of you because I am lost when it comes to nutrition. I mean, I just, if it's green, I put it in my mouth or juice it somehow. But
yeah, well, that's good. I always say that's a start, right? Like I just say to people, like, you got to start somewhere. And sometimes that's the thing, is I say, you know, don't overwhelm yourself. You know, start off small. And that's the thing that sometimes that prevents people from doing these things, is they think if they don't do all of this, then it's not going to make a difference. And I'll just share a little story before we go. And that is that because I teach all the time, I teach at the college, I'm teaching people to be nutritionists. And I say to them, you know, the simplest things, don't miss the simple things. It can make such a big difference, right? Like, and a good example of that is we always teach people not to drink water with their meals, right? Don't dilute your stomach acids. They need to be strong to metabolize protein. And that was the first, one of the first things I started implementing when I learned, I took this course, because I was having really bad, my stomach was really hurting every afternoon. I thought it was something I was eating at lunch. I thought, what did I eat today that's bothering me? Why am I having these gut issues? Because I was eating healthy food, but I was like, oh, my stomach kills me. And so I learned this about not drinking with my meal. So I stopped drinking at lunchtime. I would drink in the morning, stop drinking with my meal, and then drink later on. And that went away. That went away.
Wow.
So, and I, when I teach people that, I've got so many clients, they'll say to me, wow, that made such a difference, just not drinking with my meals. I thought I was supposed to drink with my meals. And I said, no, no, you're not. And so simple things, they go, wow, just that made such a difference. So I'll say to people, you know, sometimes it is those simple things. Like when we understand digestion and understand how our body works, and some key things can make a dramatic change. I had a person that had cancer, and of all the things I taught her, I said, what was the best thing that you implemented that made such a difference? She said, oh, diaphragm breathing. I can't believe the difference.
Wow.
Yeah. So she said, not only did it, she found it did help with, you know, with calming her body down, put her body in a state of rest and digest before eating. She said, I was able to calm my body down to go to sleep better. Through the day when I'm feeling stressed, I diaphragm breathe. I can feel my, you know, just my body calm down. She says, I love this diaphragm breathing. She's like, notice it's making a huge difference. So I'm like, those two things, not drinking with your meals and diaphragm breathing. And I'm like, there you go. Two things that people can do that don't cost anything.
Will that bring my hair back?
And make
you
know. It helps with absorption.
Okay, I'll try it.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. It's those little things that you'd be like, oh, I didn't think that was going to make a difference. So, yeah. So just I say to people, you know, if they can just start with something and see, you know, if it can make a difference, you know, that's, yeah. Yeah, we just got to, the little things sometimes can really add up. So we can't be overwhelmed. Stress is not good. So if we can just not, you know, look at all these things that you feel like you have to do and just go, okay, step one, you know, just do a couple of things. And then we build on it, right? So sometimes people with diagnosis of cancer will think that they only have it, like the doctors are rushing them, thinking they only have a limited time to pack everything in. So everything's a big rush, right?
Yeah.
And I say to people, no, don't feel that way. You know, it's taken years to get that way a lot of times. So, you know, you have time, and just, it's better that you create a lifestyle that you gradually start to make good habits, and it takes time, right? So it's really important that we walk through it the right way.
A lot of words of wisdom there.
You're welcome.
I'm overwhelmed. I gotta sit down. People go to bestbodyforlife.ca for Canada, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And of course, that's the number four.
Yes, number four.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to rush to that website.
Awesome. Okay, great. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
Okay, so Jim, she seems super sharp. Did any of that wisdom rub off on you?
No, but she has a website, so I can just go to that and pick up on it, because, you know, I was very impressed with all the information, of course, and it all makes sense when someone else says it,
right.
But to be able to tell somebody else that is great. But she has that website, the bestbodyforlife.ca. And you were probably thinking, oh, obviously Jim Mann's picture is there.
Obviously on the homepage.
I went and it's not. So I'm going to have to send her a copy of that.
Well, needless to say, I'm interested. I definitely want to look into that for sure.
Let's run up to Canada.
Okay.
You've been listening to the I Am Healing Strong podcast. Every week we bring you stories of hope from people who are facing life-altering challenges and finding out that God has a plan for your life no matter what you're facing. It's all a part of a Healing Strong organization. To find out more about Healing Strong, go to the website at healingstrong.org.